you on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
Andrew.
And Bravo.
Thanks to all of our patrons for supporting our show. Really appreciate it. Thank you for, you know, helping us, you know, keep things going. It's been a long time we've been at this, and we do it mostly as a labor of love, to be totally honest. And, you know, we appreciate the opportunity to have listeners who find some kind of self-improvement from the topics that we put out on the show. And, you know, it's kind of what keeps us going. So if you guys have show ideas or you've got some feedback for us or anything like that, you know, it's always nice for us to hear that kind of stuff. So please shoot us an email, info@trainingaz.com. All right, get things fired off. Combatives Corner with Dave.
All right, guys, girls, humans, a couple things about just some quick tips. I know we're going to be doing a show coming up that's going to get into the weeds with regard to how to find a place to train in combatives, martial arts, that kind of thing. But just to give you a kind of a flyover, some of the things to consider. Number one, make sure you research what you want to do. So have an end goal. So here's what I want to accomplish. And then talk to people who have real-world experience and ask them where to go. Because if you're just doing what your buddy's doing who doesn't have any real-world experience, who's learning from someone in a school who doesn't have any real-world experience, that's all fine. I mean, you're learning a skill, but you really need to connect some way, somehow, with people who have real-world experience. That's first thing. So look for that, and then look for systems that are built around that. But even more important than that, I think, is you got to trust your gut. When you walk into a facility, what is your first impression? And really listen to that. If they're hard pressure selling you, if they're talking about their resume, if they're, not paying attention to you at all, any of that kind of stuff, those would all be red flags as a place I don't want to be. For example, you walk into my school, you're going to be greeted right off the bat. They're going to start talking to you about what your goals are, what you want to accomplish. We're going to give you some free training. You're going to spend a week with us taking classes at no charge to make sure this is the right place for you. So you make that comfortable decision that, yeah, this is a place I want either myself or my kids to be training at. And then we talk about curriculum. Does that match what your goals are? Someone comes in and they're asking for Kung Fu. I'm going to tell them this is not the right place for you. And I will suggest a school that I might know in the area. So those are some areas that you should be looking at when you walk in. And they just overall feel for it. You know, how do they make you feel in class? Are they focusing on every single student? Is every single student getting attention from that head instructor? Is the head instructor participating in class like we talked about last week? Mm-hmm. Or are they outside of class walking around helping everybody, making sure that everybody gets something out of that class? Are they good floor managers? Are they, you know, is there like maybe two or three people are doing an exercise and everybody's just standing around watching? That's not good floor management. So there's a lot of aspects like that. Like how do you, you know, does it look like it's a professional training environment, that kind of thing. So just some quick tips. We'll hit this in more detail in a longer show, but as a quick flyover, just some things to be looking for initially as you walk in.
And we're going to be hitting that a little bit more next week, actually, because it really is an important factor, and it's probably one of the number one questions that we get from people, you know, especially when they are trying to find, you know, some kind of place to train in combatives or martial arts. They just want to know, like, how do I find the right place? So we're definitely going to talk about that a little bit more next week. Kind of more just about some of the goofy shit that we see, but that's definitely going to give you some ideas about what to look for. So Combatives Corner with Dave, brought to you by Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale, Premier Martial Arts Peoria. All right, straight into some wonderful news here. This one was more amusing than anything else. Man on motorbike dies after New York PD officer throws a picnic cooler at him, knocking him to the ground.
What?
A New York Police Department sergeant has been suspended without pay after he threw a picnic cooler at a man, fatally knocking him from his motorbike. Now, of course, this guy tried to sell drugs to undercover officers. They tried to detain him. He tried to zip off on his little motorbike. And while he was riding on the sidewalk toward officers, this officer, Duran, threw the picnic cooler at Dupre's head, causing him to smash into a tree, after which he hit a car and then the pavement, and then he died.
And that's the cop's fault?
Yeah. So everyone's pretty upset about this, I guess. Yeah.
Everyone who doesn't have a job?
Everyone yeah, all the people who are fucking losers like this guy. And I always love when they're like, so they show like a little, it's a picture. It's like people leave photos, flowers, and other items at a memorial for Eric Dupre, who died while he was being a motherfucking asshole. Oh, okay. Look, I'm no giant fan of law enforcement techniques or most of what law enforcement is doing in America today. But, dude, if you're going to fuck around and then you find out, I don't have fucking sympathy for you. This guy wasn't like on the piece of freedom loving and American values. He wasn't like trying to, you know, free someone from, you know, being held against their will. He wasn't trying to like further the cause of individual liberty. He's just another fucking turd doing fucking turd type stuff. And then someone flushed him and now we're supposed to be upset. I'm not upset.
Nice.
I mean, look, Kamala Harris wants the population to be thin, voila.
Yeah, we're reducing it.
Your wish, my
and he
command.
He was innovative. He, you know, he's like, I don't want to shoot him, so I'm just going to hit him with a cooler.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, I'm like, dude, yeah, the guy tried to use what I would consider less than lethal techniques.
Yeah.
And he just smashed a dude with a fucking cooler.
That's, yeah.
It's not his fault that the guy doesn't know how to fucking control himself and hits a tree and then hits a fucking car and then hits the pavement.
And was riding his motorcycle straight towards them.
And I always love, like, the photos because, like, all the photos are, like, you can, like, shitty fucking flowers. And there's, like, this photo collage of this dude, which quite honestly just makes him look like a fucking turd. But and a Nerf gun. And, of course, there's got to be Jesus on the cross. And motorbike riding gloves. I'm sure this guy was a fucking pinnacle in his community. Now, I'll eat my words if it comes back that he was, like, volunteering at the Boys and Girls Club and, like, supporting three kids on his own, working hard with no fucking welfare. And, like, every second Saturday he was down, you know, serving food at the local homeless shelter. And he's, like, doing his best to, like, build up America and be a good person.
I'm thinking that's not what you're going
to find. I'm just going to fucking go out on a limb here and say that none of that's true.
Well, even if he's all of those things, why is he running away from the cops
and then trying to sell them drugs?
Right, trying to sell them drugs and then drive straight towards them.
Yeah.
Potentially wanting to.
And this cop's like, yeah, okay, I won't shoot this guy. I'm going to do this guy a favor and just knock him off his bike with his cooler and then fucking limp neck over here fucking kills himself. Whose fault is that?
Right.
There's a whole other article I'm reading. Here's what we know about the death of Eric Dupre. He died after a police sergeant struck him with a cooler. He was suspended without pay. Dude, this guy picked up a cooler. I just want you all to appreciate that. This cop's like improvised Jason Bourne style and picks up a fucking cooler and launches at this guy.
And this guy looks like he's Hispanic. If he was white, we wouldn't even know about this story.
He was observed selling drugs to one of the disguised cops, prompting officers to attempt an arrest. He then moved the motorbike over to Dupre, who then hopped on and sped away from the officers. Police were in pursuit. The cop then took my cooler, which was filled with soda cans, water bottles, and hit him. Yeah.
I mean, was it?
He caused him to hit a tree and then a Jeep Cherokee before hitting the ground. Well. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
who was? Hold on a second. Hold on a second. He was the father of three children.
Yeah. And I bet he's paying child support. And
No. The two of them are with his current wife. So he's only paying child support on one of them. I'm just thinking right now, I'm going to have to tell my kids, I'm going to go ahead and try to articulate this properly, that my father's not here no more. When they ask me why, because an officer, police, killed my husband.
Has a lifelong passion.
Was that a fucking English sentence? Did that sentence articulate all of the English language well? Let me read that again. I'm going to tell my father that, my kids, that their father's not here no more. When they ask me why, I'm going to tell them it's because we're both uneducated, simple-minded, smooth-brained fucks.
Because that's a double negative, by the way.
Why? Because an officer, police, killed my husband. Nobody knows the way that this feels. I bet a whole bunch of other people who've had their family members killed by the cop knows how it feels, you fucking smooth brain.
Yeah, and let's just gloss over the fact that he was trying to sell drugs.
Hold on a second.
He was trying to sell drugs to cops.
He worked as a delivery driver for DoorDash. I take everything I said back. This guy is a pinnacle of fucking society. Without him, we wouldn't eat.
So here's your food.
I'm sorry. He only sometimes works. He sometimes works as a delivery driver. There's a time he's dealing fucking drugs to undercover cops.
Or maybe in part of the DoorDash thing, he's like, oh, and by the way, if you're interested in some drugs, I got those too.
You know what, though? I actually read an article not long ago to a lot of the drivers, and I don't mean any offense to you if you're a driver from one of these things, but I did read that a number of people who work as driver, of course, use that as a front to, you know, deliver drugs around town, which makes sense. He used the same scooter for deliveries he was riding yesterday when he was attacked. Okay. I can't understand what happened. I love when people do this. I love – hold on a second. Sometimes quotes. Are you ready for this? Ready for this?
Yeah.
She continued, I still don't understand what happened. He's gone. I loved my brother to death. Yeah, you did. He's dead. That's the joke.
Oh man. Shit.
He wasn't fleeing. He wasn't fleeing.
What?
He was just on the motorcycle talking to me on video chat, and he passed by that place when all of a sudden the call cut out. Yeah, he wasn't fleeing. He was being pursued by police officers, but his mother is saying, oh, okay. Oh, she had to tell him in Spanish, of course. She doesn't fucking speak English. I can't even continue.
She said, the police narrative is all
Jesus
lies.
Jesus Christ.
Of course it's always lies when it's your – but you know what?
My baby didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
Fucking retarded.
Oh, my gosh.
Texas man describes firing at fake maintenance workers who tried to break through his apartment door. Did you see this video?
No.
So these fake maintenance workers are trying to break into this guy's apartment, and they're like, hey, maintenance, whatever. And then literally they show up and start kicking in the fucking door, and he just opens up through the door. He doesn't hit him, of course, because he's shooting through the fucking door.
Well,
yeah. Pretty fucking wild.
Do you remember that video a while back? It's probably a number of years now. Where the maintenance guys, they were fake.
Yeah.
They did get in, and they beat the crap out of the guy in his own place.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, dude posing as a maintenance worker, knocks on the door. Resident said no. He just talks to him through the Ring doorbell camera. He says he's not home, so now the guy thinks, oh, it's cleared hot. So, his homeboy shows up, and they start kicking in the fucking door. And then... the one guy does have a handgun in his hand. He's trying to kick the door open. It doesn't work. So the guy inside, the homeowner, can see the apartment resident, sees that the guy has a gun to the camera, and he opens fire.
That's Kessel.
They all run away without getting hit. You know, and unfortunately, yeah, the resident's bullets mostly landed in his neighbor's freaking opposing wall right next to his door. So, I mean, I wouldn't ever recommend necessarily shooting blindly in the door.
Yeah.
If people are trying to kick in your door, feel free to shoot through the door. That's fine, but make sure that you have the correct angle. So, anyways.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of things that could have been done better there from a tactics perspective. But, who knows?
Wow.
Anyway, pretty wild situation. You watch the video. You can look it up. Texas man fires at home invaders through apartment doors. Literally the name of the video. So,
something about that door. They're kicking the crap out of it. It's not coming in.
You're looking at it right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so here's something about your doors. You want to stop them from being kicked in? Do simple things. One, put a kick brace on the handle.
Yep.
And wherever the lock is, do that. And then just put some big old 3-inch screws into all your hinges.
Yeah.
And voila. It's going to be real hard to kick in your door. If you have the standard screws on your hinges, it's really easy to kick them in. Because they're just attached to the frame and not the actual studs.
Right.
Drill them into the studs and that door's not fucking coming off. Same thing with the latch plate. Just put 3-inch screws into your latch plate. Otherwise, it'll just rip out of the frame. It's easy to kick a door in. It's not that hard. But you reinforce the door, it makes it real hard to kick in.
Yeah.
And it takes a couple minutes and $5 worth of screws. So
you can put those door slides on the bottom that do the same thing. They're just a little bit more intense because you have to install them. But I've seen those be pretty effective.
A Florida woman had a brush with death reminiscent to famed Australian crocodile hunter Steve Irwin after a stingray impaled her on a Tampa beach, missing her lungs by just 4 inches. Christy O'Brien was visiting Ruskin's Bahia Beach with her husband to escape the sweltering heat when she went for a swim and felt a stinging sensation in her back. When she stood up, a huge stingray barb was protruding from her shoulder with horrific pictures from hospital revealing how lucky she was to live. This barb is fucking huge, man. And it was straight up in her back.
Oof.
Yeah, it looks really nasty.
Yeah.
Paramedics freed O'Brien in the water using shears to cut the stingray at the base of its tail. And
that barb's got to be, what, 6-7 inches long?
No, look at the size of those hemostats. It's maybe.
Oh, okay, maybe.
I don't know.
Four or 5 inches.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like it's quite all the way in. I would give, I mean, it looks like she probably had good, solid 3 to 4 inches, yeah, in her back. So, freaking crazy, though, man.
Man, yeah.
Yeah. So,
but that, I mean, what's the danger there?
Did it puncture her lungs? And it just slowly leaves the tension in the thorax because nobody there isn't what the fuck to do?
Yeah,
because
there's no seal over that.
I mean, that's what I would guess. So ultimately, it's like, hey, man, even when you're on the beach, bring your freaking kit.
Yep.
Bring your kit. There's no reason to not have your kit, ever. There's just no reason to not have your kit with you, ever.
Yeah, and you have to assume that things in the water are all dangerous. It's like we've talked about with bears and everything else. Like, you're in their world, you know. Mm-hmm. And stingrays have these things for a reason.
Dude, in Arizona just this summer, we had a guy mauled by a mountain lion almost to death by the Salt River while he was getting out of his kayak, and a guy mauled to death by a black bear in Prescott while he was building his house.
Yeah.
Wild animals in their environment. Yeah. They're wild. Heads up.
Yeah.
Oof. An elementary student was killed. 23 other students were injured, including one with life-threatening injuries after their school bus was hit by a minivan and overturned on the very first day of school. This is in Ohio. Unfortunately, the elementary school student dead at the scene. Other 23 injured students all transferred to hospitals. Honda Odyssey crossed the center line, probably texting, oh my God, or something like that, and fucking smashed into the bus. Probably some stupid fucking soccer mom.
Wow. How do you cross over a median?
A center line.
Oh, yeah. Center line, okay.
Yeah, center line. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that chick should be just fucking
in jail for life.
Well, I mean, at least charged with. Oh, hold on. Hold on a second. Hermanio? That's a dude. Okay, it's a soccer dad. Was taken into custody in connection with the crash and charged with aggravated vehicular homicide. Fourth degree felony.
Wow.
Yeah. It's madness, dude. Yeah. Yep.
But we're on the road a lot. Bad how many day, how many times do you see people swerving, people moving? And you know
today
why.
Or this week?
Right, today. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's like dudes on their phone.
Yeah.
Girls on their phone, whatever. Yeah. It's just, man, guys, people got to stay off your phones.
Just be less distracted. Yeah. Another reason, FYI, to keep your kit with you. Oh, wait, you're not there. It's your kids in the school bus. Give your kids an IFAC and teach them how to use it. Or let them die. I don't know. It's your fucking choice. I'm not your dad. I can't tell you what to do. Teach your kids how to use their kits and then make your kids carry kits. Or make your kids carry kits.
Yeah.
It's so fucking easy. It's so, but I don't have time. Okay, then the fucking kids will die. Yeah. Oh, do you have time now?
Wow.
Yeah, kits. Everyone should have them. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know where. And you don't know when Hermanio is coming for your kid. Fucking smashing their school bus.
I'm on you.
Or when the fucking stingray is coming for you. Or when that fucking cooler is coming for you. You don't know when there's an otter behind you. Got to carry your kits at all times.
Exactly.
Electric vehicles are apparently killing the spare tires. The vast majority of battery-powered and hybrid cars don't have a spare tire. If the vehicle's in an accident, a spare tire can cause damage to the electrical battery, which could cause a failure in the battery. Also, the size of batteries and extra weight makes it hard for them to meet fuel efficiency requirements, increases manufacturing costs, and just takes up too much room. So most electric vehicles don't have spare batteries, which I say is probably okay anyways.
Well, then why not sell?
Because most people don't know how to fucking change their tire anyway. They're calling fucking AAA.
But then just use solid tires so you don't have to change them. Or something, you know, like so you don't have to deal with flat tires. If you're going to pay that much money for an electric car.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you can't carry spare tools in the vehicle, which is literally something we're going to talk about on the show today, you probably shouldn't have that vehicle.
Right. A spare tire is heavy, but it's not that heavy. No.
It's just
a small child heavy.
It's just another way to kill self-sufficiency.
Yep.
That's all. Because now it's like, oh, now you can't do it yourself. So now you have to call this service. You have to call someone to come help you.
Yep.
If you are an adult and you have to call someone to come fix your tire, Are you even an adult?
And if you're a male,
don't even.
You're
start.
Not a male.
Don't even fucking.
You're a beta. Started.
Can you come change my tire for me? My dad didn't play ball with me.
Yep.
Yeah, if you can't change a fucking tire, I don't even know what to tell you. It's not that hard. You jack up the car, you pull off the fucking tire, you put on the new tire, and you drive away. Well, of course, you lower the jack. And then you drive away. It's not that fucking hard. Yep. It's hot outside. It's raining.
Yeah.
If I was a guy, okay, if I wanted to be a serial killer, I would go to work for AAA. I would build up tons of fucking trust, all right? And then when I was like head of something or like a supervisor, or they were just leaving me alone, I would go out on these late night calls only when guys were asking for help and I would kill them.
Yeah.
And through that, I would be making the world a better place.
And reducing the population.
And thanks, I would be serving the greater good by reducing the population. Thanks, Kamala Harris, for putting that in my brain.
So there's someone I know. She got a flat tire on the side of the road, calls her husband. He shows up. He doesn't know how to do it. So she changes the tire. It's like, wow. It's like, I don't even know what to call you. Like, you do need pronouns because male and man is not going to work for you. So
it.
Just sorry.
Lame.
And because it's just not that hard a skill.
It's not hard, dude.
It's not a hard skill.
Yeah. The only thing that could make it difficult is when, you know, the lug nuts are on tight as fuck.
But which that's is why I carry a breaker bar. A tire iron in my car. Yeah.
I've got like a square foot breaker bar.
So do I.
It's like, because I'm like, I'll break this, but you fucking nut not getting the fucking best of me.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Snap my wrist before I give up on this shit.
Yeah. I've been in situations where. Well, no, I've always changed my tires. I've never been. Never mind.
Yeah.
I've never had a male change my tire before.
I can tell you that standing out here in the office. But
previous to Glenn, did the males know how?
I don't know.
Yeah.
See, I never needed them. I've always changed my own tires.
Yeah.
They were weak. They probably couldn't.
Glenn just picks up the car, holds it up,
pull off the tire with one hand, stick it on with the other.
I am the jack.
Twist them on with one hand. Tighten them down. You need to tighten with a wrench? Trust me, it doesn't get tighter than these hands.
You can try if you want, but that's not going to matter.
There's just in our office, we had one of the gals in here that does work for the other company in here, and it's the wife of one of our friends, and she just went on a big road trip, and she was just telling me how they got a flat tire, and her 12-year-old daughter, or I'm sorry, her 16-year-old daughter, got out and changed the tire for us.
Sweet.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Because our friend had showed her how to do it.
Yeah.
So simple. One time. You only showed her one time.
That's all you need is one time.
Yes, one time. So it doesn't take it like it's like, wait, we need to practice this. It's like, no, man. The most important thing here is don't let the car roll over you. That's like the most dangerous part about this. Mm. Might be time to break out the masks again.
Sweet. I can't wait.
Oh, man. I'm excited. They got, they're already starting to talk and say that we need to maybe wear masks.
Yeah, I want the printed ones so all vaccine. The dudes can wear the ones that have a vagina on their mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what they're.
What I'm looking for, if they bring masks back, what I'm looking forward to are all the people who wear masks with the, like, don't tread on me and the American flag and the, the constitutional stuff. I'm like, wow. I don't think you get it.
And we're going to identify very quickly who the sheep still are.
If you put a mask back on, you should probably kill yourself.
Wow, yeah.
It amazes me now when I see people with masks still on. Like, as much traveling as we do for work and everything, we'll bounce around these different airports and different cities. And you still see – and I just want to, like – I want to have, like, a semi-courteous conversation with them and just be like, hey, man, I'm just curious. Why do you wear the mask? Like, because maybe they have some kind of legitimate reason that has nothing to do with COVID, It's possible.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Before COVID, we never saw a single mask.
Orientals.
They're Asians. What is this? That's so 1980s.
I'm from the 1980s, David.
Orientals.
So are you, David.
That's how I know we've changed. Oh, we modified the
we
name.
We updated. They're now Asians. Small town, man. I didn't know.
We should have asked the Filipino earlier.
Yeah. Well, he did say he was Asian. Okay, so I'll give you that. Okay. The Asians. The Asians. That sounds makes me sound racist. Oriental sounds like
Oriental.
Yeah, sounds like a really distinguished culture.
This is going to show up
on Asian. The Asians. The Asians could be a lot of people. I wouldn't say it's all the Asians.
Well, but so Asians is Orientals. Which ones are the Orientals?
From the Orient, clearly. I don't know. It's always the tourists. I always thought. Okay, I saw Japanese mostly, probably maybe right. Chinese
wearing masks. Okay,
yeah, wearing masks. Normally in a tourist thing. I did see that before COVID.
Yeah, that's – yeah, you're sure. Okay, outside of that, I've never seen anyone wear a mask no matter how sick they were.
If you're Asian
– You get a pass.
No.
No, Oriental?
No.
The Orientals get a pass.
If you're Oriental or Asian, email us and let me know if you have family or friends or whatever who wore masks before COVID. Because I'm pretty sure I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
On like touristing, especially like, yep. You know, go to a national
masks
park.
And cameras.
Or something. Yeah, shitloads of cameras always. Yeah. So they can take photos and replicate it later. Yeah. Other than that, yeah, I don't really fucking care. I mean, I just laugh at that shit now. I'm like, whatever, dude. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
And maybe they have a sick family member at home or something. But that's again, the very small percentage of people. And we're about to see the other percentage of people who...
The gap, if they do it again, I think ultimately the big thing is that they're really are just trying to increase the gap.
Yep. And we'll see what businesses
jump back on board.
Yep.
Well, we have to do it.
No, you don't.
Nope.
You don't have to do it. See how resistance and defiance works is you don't do the thing you don't want to do.
Right.
It's so easy. But my job. No. Let me just stop you. You don't have to do the thing you don't want to do. But my career, okay. You don't have to do the thing you don't want to do. If you do it, it means you want to do it. No, I didn't want to do it. They made me. Okay, so they held you down? No. Yeah. They gave you a choice, and you made the choice.
Yep.
There it is.
And it goes back to that. Well, it was funny because there was I was talking to somebody who's a hairstylist.
Yeah.
And it was during COVID. And the person was wearing a mask that was sitting in a chair. Yeah. They sprayed some hairspray.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Oh, that smells good." And she's like, "What? You could smell that?
You smell that?" Guess what, dummy? I got bad fucking news for you. Real bad news.
Yeah, it's just.
Well, and then, of course, there was all that, you know, news coming out about the masks and how they were, like, being made with, like, these toxic chemicals and, like, you know, extended exposure to them was, like, really bad for your health.
Oh, yeah.
And
everything. Yeah.
And people are still just put them on. It has nothing to do with intelligence either, because I knew plenty of intelligent people who did it. It has nothing to do with intelligence.
Compliance.
And everything to do with compliance, to going along to get along. That's all it's about. Just go along to get along.
Yep, I need my groceries. So
instead of going out of the into a convenient way of finding a new place to get groceries, I'm just going to get groceries from here. And I don't care if I have to wear a mask.
Yep.
Or get a vaccine. Or... Get on this fucking train. I could get on this train car. Oh, they said this train car goes to the grocery store. Perfect. Let me hop right on. Oh, they're separating the men from the women. I'm sure that's not a problem.
Why are there no windows?
You want me to wear this cool little pin? I'll wear that. That's a neat pin.
What do you mean I have to take my clothes off?
Oh, you want me to get naked? No problem. Oh, you want me to get a single file line? Oh, okay.
We're showering? We're all showering?
We're all showering together? It's weird, but I'll do it. Does it mean I get to keep my job? Do I get to keep paying bills? Does it mean I get to keep my career? What about my pension? Will I get my pension? Yeah, sure. You'll get your pension. Just keep on marching. Oh, okay, good. As long as I still get my pension.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And the worst part is that there's people who are listening to this who are laughing, and they fucking did exactly what we just described.
Yep. Wearing masks. Yeah.
That's the funniest fucking part.
Well, and I mean, even at the grocery store, you can just sit out in your car and have them deliver groceries out to your car.
Yeah.
And put them in the back of your car.
A further attack on self-reliance.
Yep.
have someone else do it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. fucking lame. Self checkout and everything else.
Yeah. How much toilet paper you got at home? Got a plan. Got to prepare.
I'm holding in my rant. I'm just like getting tired of things.
You don't say.
Good news, Dave. I forgot to look it up, so I'm looking up right
now.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry. I'm almost there. I don't even know what to say. Here's good news. Here's good news. A 5-year-old's lemonade stand in Seattle raised over $17,000 for victims of Maui wildfires. Kid, you better not let the fucking IRS find out.
I was just going to say, the IRS is going to take half of that.
He had lemonade, sparkling water, toys, popsicles, suckers, and donations accepted for the Maui. Having recently returned from a family vacation on the Big Island, her husband, this gal, Ami Jewel, and her husband were watching the devastation of the fires on television when their son, Edison, asked them to turn it off because it was too sad. They didn't realize their 5-year-old could become so emotionally connected to an abstraction so far away and seen only on television. So they decided to take time to make a life lesson out of it and explain what had happened to the famous Maui town. He said he wanted to help, set up a lemonade stand like he saw once in Colorado. So they stocked it up on all kinds of stuff. The heart opening came last Saturday on a busy Seattle street where the response was absolutely prolific, stunning the family. $17,000. Careful. Don't let the IRS find out. Tax the fucking shit out of that kid. Watch out. They're coming for you. And they're armed. They'll just fucking shoot each other, but I mean, they are armed. So heads up.
All you got to do is look them in the eyes and say,
there's an otter behind you. So I think this kind of, you know, this is good news. The downside to this is not only is the IRS about to tax that ass, but the other downside is the Maui wildfires were started by the fucking government with lasers, I'm convinced, at this point.
And they're gonna
it was actually lasers. Do you know the laser theory?
Yeah.
About the blue? The blue paint?
Yep, the blue paint.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I saw that.
And everything blue is untouched?
Yeah.
Completely... Everything burned except for a blue car. Completely unburned except for umbrellas, blue umbrellas. Everything burned except for blue houses.
Uh-huh.
And all the celebrities, for some unknown fucking reason, all painted their roofs blue. And not just blue, a very specific type of blue.
Shade, yeah.
That only the same type of blue of cars and umbrellas and other blue items untouched.
Yep.
That's wild.
By the fires. And then how convenient that the you know, governor is using the opportunity to purchase the burned land from people. They're now devalued, burned, fried, destroyed land will now be purchased for use by the state so they can build back better.
Build 15-minute cities.
And building 15-minute cities.
Yep.
So I applaud this kid. The good news about it is a kid wanted to do a thing that was positive in the world, and he did that thing.
Yeah. To help the people who were destroyed by the government, and then the government's going to take half the money that he raised to give them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Government wins.
To help with the with the tragedy that the government caused.
Yep. So they win on both sides. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
wonderful.
Nothing to see here.
Wunderman. All right. Red wire gear moment. Prep for the cooler months. Now, all right, we know that it's fucking hot out there, man. It's hard to think about prepping for cooler months when it's so freaking hot. You know, it's hard to think about cooling for prepper months when it's – or cooler months, I mean, when it's, you know, 110 degrees outside. So this is the right time to start prepping. Check your furnaces. Get them serviced now. Check your fireplaces. Get your chimney swept now. Start cutting your firewood. Now, start prepping your home for cold weather. Now, start buying your cold weather supplies, your cold weather clothes, your cold weather hot hands and boots and all the cold weather stuff that you need now. Because if you do it now, then when the cold weather hits, you'll be ready and you won't be on the long list of service calls that the chimney sweep now has to try to get to. Or the furnace repair guy has to get to. Or you won't be trying to be out there in a freaking snowstorm cutting firewood. I was talking to a associate of ours a couple weeks ago who does air conditioning repair. He actually services the air conditioning unit at our house. And I was kind of chit-chatting with him, and he was like telling me about how freaking unrelentlessly busy they are right now. How he just has no time. He has no time.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just go, 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 go for his whole company. He owns the company, and he's out there with all the other techs because they're so far behind.
Yeah.
Because it's just go, 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 because everyone waited until their shit was broken to call them. That's why it's better, just like we do with him. We call him up in the, you know, spring and go, hey, man, come by the house and check the unit out. And he can come by and he can hang out for a minute. We can chit-chat and he can check the unit, and he's not a rush.
Yeah.
You know, and then he says, good, bad, hey, let's change this fuse. Hey, let's change this internal filter. Hey, let's change this thing. All right, cool. And then as a consequence, I mean, look, shit happens, right? Of course, things can break.
Yep.
But preemptive maintenance prevents, hence the term, the majority of these kinds of incidents. So,
yeah.
Prep for cooler months now. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. All right. Sort of kind of in the same vein of prepping is our topic for this week. Kind of a general pack dump, so to speak, of our, in this case, vehicle go bag. So generally we talk about pack dump, just kind of our opportunity to tell people about what we've got going on. You know, like, hey, here's what we carry for this. Here's what we put in this bag. Here's what we carry in a, you know, overnight bag. Here's what we carry in this. So just kind of going over a general vehicle go bag. Now, I told Dave it was going to be more of like emergency response tools because I wanted him to go one direction with it. And then I was going to kind of focus more on like overall vehicle go bags and what we deal with that. And then we can kind of look at, you know, compare and contrast, right?
Yeah.
So first thing with kind of my general go bag concepts, all right? And when I'm thinking of a go bag from a vehicle, it's because I have to leave my vehicle. Maybe it's broke down on the side of the road. Maybe I'm stuck peaceful protesters. Maybe, you know, fucking War of the Worlds is happening and the aliens are zippity-zapping all the freeways and I need to leave my vehicle and get the hell out of there. So I have a small black lightweight backpack that I keep in my truck. And I don't want the cool guy multicam. I don't want the cool guy woodland. I don't want something that's going to attract attention to me. A basic black lightweight backpack is not going to attract attention to me. So that's why I choose that. Something that I'm willing to risk drawing a little bit of attention to me is I do carry the Hill People Gear Recon chest pack. And it's just kind of a lightweight, looks not tactical. It's like gray in color, and it looks like a backpacker's or a runner's pack, a little kit bag. And I keep most of my small items in there, and it's also easy to, you know, open up and use right in front of me at my chest level so I can access small tools. So I am willing to put that on. I carry with my go bag, I'm going to have weather gear and just basic rain gear and a poncho. Just a basic rain pants, rain top, and a poncho to make a quick little shelter with if I really need to get out of the weather and maybe hide a little bit. Gloves, protect my hands. Headgear, I like to have I have an extra baseball cap as well as a beanie in there. I have a couple pairs of clothing in there that I consider essential. It's an extra pair of underwear, extra socks, and an extra t-shirt. I can make pants or shorts last for a very long time, but you know, shirts, underwear, socks, need to change that stuff out on a pretty regular basis. I carry an extra spare light, in this case a headlamp, plus some extra batteries for that headlamp. Carry a water filter because water is life. I prefer the Sawyer Minis. I believe they're a more versatile filter, especially in places like Arizona, with a long piece of surgical tubing attached to it in case I need to dip that shit in some little tiny crack or crevice, or sometimes water hides in Arizona and I need to get to it. I do carry a couple extra magazines in my truck, two for my pistol, one for my rifle. So depending on what I've got with me, I'll take that. I do carry an extra blade. I've got a nice heavy-duty knife in there on my bag or on my kit. I do carry signaling, both a signal mirror as well as some flares in case I need to signal somebody directly, and a large orange aviation panel. I do have some repair tools for my gear, so I carry like zip ties. I carry tenacious tape, which is good for repairing torn things, especially my water gear in case it gets ripped or cut up and I need it to stay waterproof. And I do carry some basic like paracord, things like that. I do have a piece of small body armor, both front and back plates that are small sized that I do keep in my truck. It's a small enough carrier. It's the old minimalist carriers, and it's very, very small, basically an old school spine plate. And I put that thing on, and I can keep it on under like a poncho, rain gear, a button-up shirt, and really no one's going to tell that it's there unless they're really looking for it because it's not a full-size piece of body armor. Really just protects my heart and spine. My med kit, obviously, that's in addition to what I carry on me because this med kit will be the med kit out of my truck that also has some basic boo-boo supplies in it. I carry a road vest in there in case I need to be seen while I'm hiking. There's times I might want to be seen. Also, there's times I might want to like blend in or fit in with a road crew, and that's a pretty easy thing to do. Note-taking equipment, not just so I can record information, but also so I can leave notes or things like that. I also carry Silcock keys so I can turn different water devices on and off. If you want more information about that, look up Silcock keys. I do carry some tire tools. Primarily what I carry are I carry a very, very small tire repair kit and also a tire – we'll just call it a tire disabling kit. All right, so that if I need to kind of very low pro just disable some tires for maybe some people I don't want to pursue me, it's really easy to make that happen. And I carry some hygiene, just basic toothpaste, toothbrush, and body wipes. I like the Duke Cannon body wipes. I think they're some of the best ones out there, as well as the Dude wipes. And then just generally, you know, toothpaste, toothbrush. If I had the capability to carry deodorant, that'd be super neato. But really, I just want the ability to kind of clean places they're going to shave or wear. I carry some basic fire kit, which for me is flint, steel, lots of different types of tinder. Well, I shouldn't say lots, like it's a ton, but three different types of tinder. And then just a good old Bic lighter because I think they're awesome. And then last on my list is a radio, a radio that's capable of FRS, GMRS, and UHF, VHF. That way it's easy for me to get on the channels that I know I can need to communicate with people on, or if I find myself in a situation where I need to be someone who has a radio to communicate with people, I've got that capability to do so. So, you know, I'm sure there's some miscellaneous other things I'll kind of add here and there. I'll grab some things that are maybe situationally dependent, or I may grab some things that are contextual to what's happening right there. But overall, that's typically what's in my go bag. So cool. What do you got, Dave?
So I went a little different. I didn't go so much as a bag that I take away from my truck. I set my truck up in such a manner that my truck is my go bag, per se. Sure. If I'm staying in my truck or using my truck and I'm at access to it, there's some things that I carry. I carry a battery charger. And I'm not talking about like one that I don't. I carry cables too, but it's a separate battery charger that I can. I've had to use it multiple times to start my truck, and so that's really handy to have that. An air compressor that plugs into my 12, my AC or my DC, excuse me, in my truck, so I can, you know, air up a tire if I need to. I don't have to be at a gas station, something like that. I carry, you know, well, you already talked about weapons. I do carry a good size machete, just for fun though, because it's cool. I carry just normal blankets beyond, you know, like a single blanket or that kind of thing, but just normal blankets. I have, you know, one or two blankets just in case I'm going to need those. A good size tire iron, because the tire irons that come with most vehicles, even trucks, are pretty much inadequate, and I just don't like to struggle that much in getting those lug nuts off, so big fan of that. Because I have a truck, and again, some of this stuff can be contextual to what you can fit in a vehicle, but because I have a truck, I carry a full-size jack in the back because, the jack in my truck is – it'll work, but it's just not – if I can pull out a, you know, big hydraulic jack that I can throw under my truck, man, it's so much easier. And the beauty of that, too, is that the handle for the jack is now my breaker bar that I can use, so it serves a second purpose that way. I do carry a full-size shovel in my truck at all times, just because I've needed that before. And then a variety of tools, whether it's wrenches, pliers, screwdrivers, all that kind of thing. And then I also carry electrical tools. I have an electrical drill, electrical saw, different things of that nature. Not crazy stuff, but stuff I can – it's just nicer to be able to put on a battery on a remote tool and do some work that way if I need to. Makes things go faster, so I like having access to something like that. If I need to build something, it's easier to build than to try to hammer and nail. If I can just, you know, small box of screws and an electric drill, and I can do a lot of work. I also carry heavy trash bags, one or two of the big. There's like, I think that's, mine are either 8 or 11 millimeter thick. They're super thick. I can use them as trash bags, but really they're designed for other things. They're designed for me to maybe make bedding if I want to, or to use as a rain gear or something of that nature. So there's a lot of uses for just a heavy black plastic. So I do carry one or two of those in there. I carry a tree saw, which is different than a normal saw that I might have in my toolkit and in the bed of my truck. Tree saw is just the more jagged blades if I need to, you know. We've had to be out the range and do some tree trimming and so forth. And
we have trimmed some trees.
Yeah, so having that ability is something I like. Ratchet straps. We use them obviously all the time in normal life, but having those ratchet straps for, you know, I may get stuck. I need to ratchet myself out of a, you know, muddy pit or something because I've been stuck before.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, we have unstuck Dave's truck.
That's right. Not this one, but my last one that was not four-wheel drive. Yeah, I got that puppy stuck. So let's, you know, I also like to carry extra oil and antifreeze because those are the two fluids in my vehicle that are most likely going to deplete. Mm. And so having enough to at least maybe get me a little bit further where I can get to a higher quantity of that kind of thing. I keep lock picking tools in my truck, and ironically, I've had to use them to get into my own house. And so having them in my truck and not in my house has been a real benefit. I carry compass, you know, and land nav materials. I carry spare batteries in a special battery case of all kinds, so AAAs, AAs, 12-volt, whatever, in my truck because I just never know. We just gave batteries out to somebody at the range yesterday, having that available in my truck. A phone charger is something that – because if my truck's disabled, now I have no way to charge my phone, so it's nice to have a separate battery pack that I keep that I can charge up my phone. I always did, whenever I'm rotating my tires, I always check my spare to make sure that the air is proper and that it's not rotting because I don't want to go for that spare and have it just fall apart or the air pressure is so low it won't work. So just something to keep in mind with that regard from a standpoint of preparedness. My gun safe in my truck, you know, that's just what I roll with to make sure I have a safe place to put my gun. I actually store an extra key for my truck on my truck. Mm-hmm. I do have a keypad, but if I lost my keys, I still can't start my truck. Mm. So, and mine is, it's not push button, so it's still, so having that extra key somewhere where, because it doesn't matter if it's at home, if my truck, if I'm here today, you know, it's just a hassle. So putting it someplace on my truck where I can find it, it's nice to have. So fire extinguisher, small fire extinguisher, because we see cars burn all the time. Sometimes we make them burn. But car fires are not unusual to see. And so having a way for me to put that fire out if I'm, you know, trying to deal with a situation. Hot hands, you know, having just a good supply of those in my vehicle. And not really. I have a dash cam, and I think they're really valuable these days to have as well for just to be able to document a situation. But outside of that, that's pretty much my list.
So I would add, I mean, pretty much everything.
Plus everything that you said, too. I just marked stuff off as you mentioned it. So,
And to add to, like, general vehicle tools, like I kind of looked at it more from leaving the truck. You looked at it more from what do I keep with my truck. To add to that of what I carry, I also carry extra, like, shock, medical hypothermic shock tools. So I carry larger blankets, a ready heat bag, a larger bivy. I carry bigger things that are readily accessible in the seat right by my first aid kit or my trauma kit so that those things are readily accessible. Too big for me to carry away from the truck because a lot of them are pretty bulky, but they are absolutely small enough for me to, you know, haul around in my truck. And so I carry extra of that, especially dealing with vehicle-related accidents. I'm more likely to have to encounter that kind of stuff. I carry additional wet weather gear and a heavy coat in my truck that I may not necessarily take with me, kind of contextual there. And I always have my hammock in my truck for a nice place to take a snoozer.
Yeah.
I keep a blanket and a pillow in my truck. I slept in my truck. I couldn't even tell you how many fucking times.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm a big fan of big battery jumpers. I really like the extra battery boost packs because I've used those things 1,000 times.
Those ones also have little
USB.
USB, and then the USB-Cs on there as well. Plus, it's got one of the plugs, too. So that thing is universal. So that's super important to have.
I've used the jump booster pack so many damn times. And they're awesome because I can take them away from the truck, too. So, like, even
it's
if I'm on a camping trip,
yeah,
I can go like,
oh, hey, here's
it.
This. We've used it to light the kid's tent. You know what I mean? We're camping. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I need a light. It's like, shit, the other light's dead. No problem. Go grab the booster pack, turn on the light, charge it up tomorrow, you know? So that's always a really, really useful tool to have. I've used it so many times. Just make sure when you get one, two things to never do. One, don't go cheap.
Yeah.
And two, get bigger than what you think you need, because nothing sucks more than not being able to turn over that engine. So you got a big diesel or something like that, make sure you got a big enough battery jumper.
Yeah. I also use I have a special battery pack that's solar charged.
Okay.
So that I can – it takes a long time because it's solar charged. But it's nice, like if I'm someplace, I can just put it out in the sun while I'm using the other one, and hopefully it can gain enough charge to charge my phone or whatever I need to further. So – I don't know how well those work. I'm sure you could buy ones that are more expensive that work a little bit better. But
I use the Jackery.
Yeah.
And the Jackery is a really badass unit. It is also solar powered, but it's an incredible freaking unit. I've been really happy with it. When it comes to fire extinguishers and vehicles, I do carry a bigger fire extinguisher. I tried to put a vehicle fire out once with one of those small, like, you know, vehicle-based.
Water bottle style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went real fast, and the fire was still alive. And I was in the middle of an intersection, and a car just went to go make a turn and kind of died, and then whatever happened, and the engine happened, and it started on fire. It was a Suburban. And so all the people were getting out, and the car's on fire, and I'm like, okay, it's not engulfed. I think I can do this. So I, like, pull up behind him, and I kind of had to flip a bitch to get to him, come back up behind him, and pull out my fire extinguisher, and I'm just like, I got this shit, you know what I mean? And I'm like...
And we're done.
And it was like, oh, shit, you know? And luckily, I got it down to the point where a cop pulled up probably 30 seconds after I was done with my fire extinguisher, so maybe 5 minutes or so after the thing had probably caught on fire. And he pulled out his fire extinguisher, which was a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
You know, still wasn't very big. And he hosed it. And as he was hosing, I went and started grabbing big old fucking handfuls of dirt.
Yeah.
And I was just running over and dumping fucking dirt on this thing as this guy was hosing it down. I mean, we'd straight fuck that engine compartment up.
Yeah.
But didn't matter. It was melting. But,
You
know, it wasn't so hot that, it, you know, we were too hot to get close to it yet. But obviously we didn't want to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so we finally put it out. And I can tell you what, man, we were both fucking sweating.
Yeah.
When it was done, we were like, holy shit, that was a lot of work. And the cop's like, damn, that was a lot of work. And I'm like, I definitely respect freaking firefighters more, you know. And he was just like, all right, well, I got to write up a report and everything. I'm like, all right, well, I'll see you later. You know what I mean? Like, jump in my truck, you know. Went to the store and bought a slightly bigger fire extinguisher.
Yeah,
I can tell you one thing. I'm definitely definitely not happy about the size of that fire extinguisher. So that is definitely something I'd recommend, especially if you're planning on using it for yourself. And again, you drive a larger vehicle, you know, something to consider there.
I keep spare clothes for our kids in my back.
We keep an extra bowl in Drew's car because that's usually the vehicle that the dog's in if he's going to go with us anywhere. So
I mean,
we keep
pretty
a bowl in there for food and water.
My 4Runner is set up just like the black truck minus a couple of things, but pretty much everything else in the 4Runner. I have a little extra stuff. I keep more wipes in there, I think. I keep I have one of those big heating blankets in there. I've got a couple of them, actually. But I have stuff. I have more stuff for the kids, for extra stuff for the kids in there.
And I've got, you know, in my truck, of course, I have a toolbox. So, like Dave mentioned, I've got a shovel, and I got a nice, like, shorthand, what I call the supervisor shovel, because it's got a handle on the top for fucking leaning on, you know, jokingly call it the supervisor shovel. I got a supervisor shovel in there. I've got a handsaw. I've got a hammer. I've got a couple sets of screwdrivers. I got a full set of both socket wrenches and open-ended wrenches. I've got a box of screws. I got a box of nails. I've got some big heavy-duty stakes. So, I mean, I've got a toolbox in the bed of my truck, so obviously I can put more shit in there. I've got the full-size jack. I've got a little stool that I can put in there, a little camp chair. So, you know, I carry some other things like that. But I think what you put in your vehicle should really reflect like what you do with your vehicle. You know, I see a lot of people cruising around with these like fucking pop-up tents that they never open. You know, it's like it's cool to buy that kind of shit, but that's just like anything else. It's really easy to buy shit. And see people with winches on the front where I'm like, dude, have you ever actually used a winch? I mean, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have one if you've never used one. I'm just saying, are you in situations where a winch might really truly be needed, or did you just fucking spend money on that thing because it looks cool? Like whatever you're putting in your truck or your vehicle, I don't care if you drive a little Toyota Corolla or you drive a big old freaking diesel truck, like figure out what you need and find places to put it in there. You know, it was one thing, like, you know, when our oldest son got his first car, you know, I helped him build like an emergency kit, a med kit, and a tool kit. And he was like, man, this takes up a lot of space the trunk at the time. And I'm like, yeah, and if I ever catch you not carrying this shit, I'm gonna kick your ass.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you better fucking carry all this shit. And he does. I mean, he carries. He's got his toolbox. Even now, he's got a slightly different vehicle with a hatchback instead of a trunk. And then, you know, he's got a big fucking subwoofer box in the back that takes up a bunch of space. And still, he's got his tool bag, his med kit, and his emergency kit. You know, because it's like, yeah, dude, you don't want to be without this shit.
Yeah.
You find yourself without this shit, you're in deep shit. You know? So I definitely carry a few other things, you know, in my toolbox kind of generally. You know, just regular tie downs and stuff like that, like you mentioned.
Yeah, ratchet straps and that kind of thing.
So,
yeah.
A lot of it is just thinking ahead.
And a lot of it is also personal experience, because we've been in situations where, like, I really could use this and I don't have it, so that's going in my truck from now on.
It's either I needed this thing and I didn't have it, or I used this thing and it was awesome and it's never going to leave my truck. Right. It's like, for me, like a full-size shovel. Some people put like an e-tool in their truck. Fuck that. Yeah. If you've used an e-tool, which I've not used an e-tool to bail out a vehicle. I've used an e-tool when I was in the military and I was like, yeah, fuck this. I don't ever want to use one of these things again in my life, you know? Like, this is the world's shittiest shovel. So instead, I'm like, nah, dude, if I'm going anywhere in my truck, I've always carried basically a full-size shovel head, at least, even if it's got a shortened handle, full-size shovel head. I carry a pick in my truck, you know? I can't say I'm running around digging a lot of trenches or anything like that, but, man, there's been some times where we've been out camping or, you know, I've been on the side of the road trying to help somebody or whatever, and, you know, a pick has come in damn handy. So just to pry – I've used it just to pry stuff open. I used it to literally pry a fucking hood open one time. You know, because a pick is super freaking durable. It's got a giant spike on the end.
Right.
You know what I
mean?
Super
lever. It's a great lever.
Couldn't get this hood open. And it wasn't an emergency. The guy was on the side of the road. And I stopped asking if he needed some help. And he's like, yeah, I think something's wrong with my truck. And I can't get the hood open. And I'm like, I think I have a thing, you know? And at the time, all I had was my pick. And actually, since then, I've added a small crowbar.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, now I just like kind of, I'm like, hey, dude, I might scratch your pain a little bit. I'm sorry. And we like tried to put like a sock he had like over the pick end and kind of wedge it in there and just pop that fucking hood right open. Whereas like he's had no other way to get any kind of leverage. He's hitting on it. He's banging on it. It's just not releasing. And I don't know if the hinge was rusty or stuck or who knows. But boom, just popped that thing right open. So after that, I was like, okay, pick's a pretty big tool to pop a hood open with. I could have just got a little, you know, crow's foot crowbar. And now I carry actually a full-size crowbar in there, but. You know, just think about that. Rescue tools. I have two ways inside of my truck to get out of my truck. Both of them have strap cutters
and window breakers. Oh, yeah. Those two, yeah.
Yeah. One of them's attached to my med kit, and the other one's attached to my headrest. Yeah. So, and the med kit's on the passenger headrest, and obviously my headrest is on my seat, and both of them have those tools on them. So, I mean, there you go. There's kind of a good list of a lot of things to consider. You know, did we miss something that you think is freaking awesome? You know, did we totally just miss it? And you were like, no, man, you should carry, you know. And some of you guys are in cold weather and you're like, what about your chains? Or something like, yeah, I don't carry fucking chains in Arizona. You know, but it, like, is there something that you think we just totally missed? You're like, oh, my God, I can't believe they didn't think about this. Or, hey, this might be able to help somebody else down the road. Freaking shoot us an email, info@trainingaz.com, and we'll talk about it on next week's show.
Or, better yet, get on the alumni page. And share it there.
Yeah, if you're an Independence Training alumni, hop on the alumni group and check it out.
And if you're not, why are you not? Why are you not?
Come take a class.
Why are you not an alumni?
And if you want to take a class, but you're like, oh, I can't drive to Arizona or travel to Arizona, no problem. Host us where you are. It's so easy to host us. We're happy to come out to wherever you are and teach our programs. It's simple.
And your training is free.
Free. info@trainingaz.com is how you can email us to get more information with that. Independence Training moment for this week. What did we do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? We covered travel safety tips with the kids. We're going on some trips with the kids here coming up soon. And And we just cover travel safety with them. Like, hey, we know you know this, but let's not forget some shit. You know what I mean? Like, this is what's okay for people to do. This is what's okay for people to say. This is what's not okay for people to do. This is what's not okay for people to say. Stay together. Watch for this kind of, you know, environment. You know, act this way, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Just reminding the kids about travel safety. We're going to be out in open places where we haven't always, you know, where we're not normally at, and pay attention to things around you.
But no communist states.
No, of course not.
No, we're only going to.
Yeah. Actually, this time we're not going to any. Mm-hmm. We're not going behind enemy lines. No. Nope. Not at all.
Colorado?
It's neutral.
Not a communist state. Yeah.
It's neutral.
The fight is on for Colorado.
Yeah.
It's purple right now.
Yeah. Yep.
Whatever. Oh, what else we got here? Follow us on Instagram and Facebook as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, MRC Phoenix, Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale, and Premier Martial Arts Peoria. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Be sure to check out everything else awesome that our network does. Next week, as Dave has mentioned for the past couple weeks, we're going to do a show specifically on goofy martial arts and theatrical combatives concepts that are for entertainment only. Until next time. Stay where, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.